And then another scripture, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, that's page 1192 in the Pew Bible, 1192, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. And again, the Word of God says, "You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then one more, if you'll turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul writes, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." So we're going to link those three scriptures together this morning. Amen. So there is a hymn that was written in the middle of the 1800s that is often sung on Father's Day. And the name of the hymn is Faith of Our Fathers, Faith of Our Fathers. And oftentimes it's used to emphasize how Christian faith is passed on from fathers to their children, influencing them for the Lord. But actually that hymn was written to focus on the idea of our forefathers who paid the price passing on and preserving the Christian faith. For example, the first verse says, "Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death." So the hymn celebrates the fact that our fathers' faith is living still in the history that we have today. But actually, there's even more to that hymn story. It was written by a guy named Frederick Faber. He was actually an Englishman who was raised as a Calvinist, who later became an Anglican church minister. And then he left the state church and he joined the Roman Catholic Church. He became known as Father Wilfrid, a Catholic priest. And he made it his life's mission to write hymns that promoted the teachings and history of the Catholic Church. It was his hope that one day England would return to the fold of the papacy. And he wrote Faith of Our Fathers as a hymn to refer to the martyred leaders of the Catholic Church during the 16th century. It first appeared in 1849 in the author's collection of hymns called Jesus and Mary, or Catholic Hymns for Singing and Reading. That means we have left a verse out of our hymn book on that hymn. The verse we left out is this: "Faith of our fathers, Mary's prayers shall win our country back to thee, and through the truth that comes from God, England shall then indeed be free." So we have adapted this hymn as evangelicals to put in our hymn book. But it does sing for us because it does allow us to celebrate the faith of our forefathers. And yes, it does allow us to celebrate faith of our literal fathers passed on to us. Now you're thinking, are you confused, Pastor? This is not Father's Day. This is Mother's Day. But I bring this hymn up in its history because I think it's appropriate to talk not only about the faith of our fathers and to sing that truth, but to also talk about faith of our mothers living still. A faith that lives on, that has effect and influence, not just from mothers, but from fathers. And I say that especially in light of a recent survey by Barna. Barna did a survey recently to asking Christian people whose faith has influenced you the most. Asking Christians whose faith has influenced you the most, your father or your mother. And the answer to that question, who's influenced you the most, 70% of those Christians surveyed said, mother. And then they went on in the same survey to survey Christian teenagers to ask them which parent offers you more spiritual guidance. And they had different categories of that question. Which parent prays more together with you, father or mother? The answer was mom. How about teaching about the Bible? More said, mom. How about discussing God? Mom again. How about teaching about God's forgiveness? Mom. How about discussing the Bible? Mom. Teaching about religious traditions? Mom. Responding to questions regarding faith? Mom was selected as offering more spiritual guidance than dad. How about encouraging church attendance? Again, mom. The only category of that survey of offering spiritual guidance where dad was even close to being equal to mom was teaching faith by setting an example. Mom, mom, mom. Now, I share that not as an indictment against Christian dads, though there is something to be said about dads stepping up and helping pass along the faith. I share that survey and that information to remind you that faith of our mothers living still, in effect and influence, is a critical and wonderful piece of our growing in our faith in Jesus. Faith of our mothers. There's an old Yiddish proverb that says, one mother achieves more than 100 teachers. In many ways, that's true. So our study today is going to show us that faith of our mothers is living still as an incredible influence and impact on our lives. And we are going back to our study here in 2 Timothy. The series is entitled Finishing Strong, Faithfulness and Encouragement in Following Jesus as we study through 2 Timothy. Now, we talked last week about Paul being the spiritual father of Timothy. He passed on the faith to Timothy, who passes it on to others like a relay race. But what's interesting today in our text is that Paul stresses how that living faith came to Timothy, not just through Paul, but it came through two women in Timothy's life, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Paul emphasizes that their faith, their influence, is living still in the life of Timothy. So we look at the story of Timothy and we see how the faith of our mothers can be living still in affecting us for Jesus. Now, to understand that about Timothy, you need to go back to Acts 16 with me, if you'll turn back to Acts 16, and give you a little bit of background on Timothy's family. If you turn back to Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 1, Paul is beginning his second missionary journey. At the end of chapter 15, he tells his friend Barnabas, "Let's go back and return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." He started these churches, particularly in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and he wants to go back and see how are the churches doing. By the way, this is the time when Barnabas said, "Well, let's take John Mark with us." And Paul does not trust John Mark, and there arose a sharp disagreement between them, and they split up, and Paul takes Silas with him back to Asia Minor, starting his second missionary journey. And he goes to a place called Derbe and then Lystra. This is about 3 years probably after they first visited there. And in Lystra is Timothy, who Paul met on his first missionary journey. Now notice it says in verse 1 that Timothy is a disciple. A disciple. That means Timothy has come to faith in Jesus, possibly through Paul, but also possibly through his mother and grandmother. It mentions in verse 1 his mother, whose name is Eunice, who is a Jewish woman who is a believer. She has given her life to Jesus as her Savior. Then it mentions Timothy's dad also in verse 1, and it says his father was a Greek. He was not a Christian believer. This is why Paul will circumcise Timothy, who is half Jewish, in order to allow him to be able to witness and be somebody who ministers to the Jewish people. It's not about salvation, but about his fitness to reach out to the Jewish community. So Paul takes him under his wing, and notice it says in verse 2 that Timothy is a well spoken of by the brethren. He's well spoken of by the brethren. He's well known in his character as a Christian. And then in verse 3, Paul says, I want to take you, Timothy, on my mission work. And for the next 15 to 20 years, Timothy is a disciple of Paul. He's a right-hand man of Paul. He ministers with Paul and for Paul. But in order to get there, he is highly influenced by his mother and grandmother. Faith of our mothers living still in the generation of Timothy. So I'd like you to turn back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here's the first point I want to make. And that is faith of our mothers living still through molding. Faith of our mothers living still through molding. Notice in 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul says to Timothy, I want you to continue in the things you have learned, the principles and precepts of your faith in Jesus that you have learned from me and from Silas. But notice he goes on to say in verse 14, this is whom you've learned it from. But the immediate context reminds us it's not just Paul, it's not just Silas, but in verse 15 he says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. So the whom, which is plural, by the way, in verse 14, the whom is not just Paul, not just Silas, but it's from Eunice and Lois. You've learned the sacred writings from childhood. The word childhood there is brephos, which means embryo or newborn. In other words, from a baby, you have been taught the sacred writings, which literally means the Old Testament scriptures. So, who would have taught Timothy the Old Testament? His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. As Chuck Swindoll says, his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois sang to him the songs of Zion and whispered in his ears the prayers of Moses. They taught him about God. Now, understand something here. That would have not have been an easy task. His father was not a believer, so he was not supportive. Plus, we know that there was no Jewish synagogue in that town. You have to have 10 Jewish men to have one. And so there's no Jewish synagogue. There's no faith community to support that teaching. Plus, Timothy's living in a very immoral Greek and Roman culture. And yet these two ladies taught Timothy about faith. And it laid the groundwork for Timothy to accept Christ as a Christian. You see, faith of our mothers living still is passed along through molding our children. Moms, you have an opportunity to influence your children as you mold them and bring them up in the giving of the Word of God. We have the familiar scripture, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, that says, these words which I'm commanding to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That is not just given as instruction to dads. That is instruction given to moms, to teach and to instruct children to be early, plain, frequent, and patient in teaching our children of God. Does not mean that you just suddenly one day wake up and say, I'm going to dump the truck on my kids. You know, today's the day. They're going to get everything. You don't do that. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not, listen, forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. Teachings of your mother. Moms, you have opportunity to teach your children from the Word of God. You have opportunity to mold your children by praying for them. As grandmothers, you also have the opportunity to pray for your grandchildren. Some years ago, there was a Christian artist named Jeff Moore who sang about going to his grandmother's house one day, and the song is called The Keeper. And he tells in the song about waking up one night, and he goes down the hall, and he sees the light on in his grandmother's room. And so he goes in the room, and he sees her on her knees praying for him. And he sings the words of her prayer. Jesus, keeper of this life, you are my refuge, my comfort, my guide. Watch over this little one tonight. Guard his every footstep as he travels this life. And in some quiet moment, draw him to your side that he might come to know you, Jesus, as the keeper of this life. What a great prayer over your grandchildren. You can mold your children over praying. You can have opportunity to influence your children. You can mold them in faith as you do the things in that survey. Pray together with them. Discuss God. Teach about forgiveness and grace. Discuss scripture. Teach the traditions of the faith. Respond to questions that they have about the faith. You influence them. You mold them. Some years ago, I saw the book by Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's Restaurants. He wrote a book called Well Done. And he writes this. Dave Thomas said, when I was 11 years old, my adoptive grandmother took me to Michigan's Gull Lake to be baptized by immersion. What I remember most about my baptism was that my grandma Minnie made it happen. For her, he writes, Christianity meant more than doctrine you talked about on Sundays. It meant teaching her grandson about faith. Faith of our mothers living still. Now that requires intentionality. It's the challenge daily of a mom to mold your children spiritually. The humorist Irma Bombeck once said, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. We might argue about that. But she writes, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up every day, right? That's so true. It's true on all levels as a mom to intentionally show up and to mold your kids spiritually. Now, most of the time when a mom does that, it's in conjunction with believing spouses. It's a team effort, mom and dad. But I know that some of you here today, some of you moms, that's not the case. Your husband is not a believer. Your husband is not walking with Jesus and helping you disciple your children. Or you're here today as a single mom. And to those ladies, I would say this. Remember the heart of Eunice. Her husband was not a believer. And yet she taught and molded her son Tim in faith. And by the way, those in that category, in that situation of being the sole spiritual leader in your home as a mom, you are my heroines. You are the people I respect and honor the most. And I pray that God would bless and sustain you in that journey. Someone said that for motherhood as a Christian, it is the transmission of a God-centered, Christ-treasuring vision of life to your children. Faith of our mothers living still through modeling. And that faith of our mothers living still through modeling is a generational thing. I'd like you to turn back with me to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to what Paul writes in verse 5. Again, he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. I love the fact when you read that verse, there are three generations of believers in Jesus. The chain of unbelief from Timothy's father's side has been broken by these two women. There is now a generational faith that is passed on. And I love that chain being broken. My wife, Janelle, had a grandmother named Flo, or Florence. Florence was one of 17 children. That's something. 17 kids. It was not a family of faith. In fact, they were bootleggers during Prohibition. I married a woman with a very sordid past. Grandma Flo was one of the few, if any, of those 17 kids who came to faith in Jesus in her family. She broke the chain of unbelief. And then Janelle's mom, Juanita, was molded, influenced to find faith in Jesus. And then Janelle and her siblings came along and they were molded to find faith in Jesus. And then they had kids and they were molded to find faith in Jesus, the great-grandchildren of Flo. And now those kids, those great-grandchildren, are now having children and they're being molded in the faith of Christ. Five generations of Christians passed on because of one woman finding faith in Jesus. Faith of our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers living still. Moms, think generationally. It's not just about you. You are molding future generations to live for Jesus and influencing them as a Christian mom. Faith of our mothers living still as children, grandchildren molded in the grand faith. The second thing I notice here is faith of our mothers living still, not just through molding, but through modeling. Faith of our mothers living still through modeling. Go back to verse 5. Paul refers to the sincere faith that is in Timothy. The word faith here refers to the truths about Jesus and salvation. It refers to the good news of receiving and believing in Jesus as your Savior and the effect on your life. But notice that word sincere there. It is a compound Greek word. The root gives us the word hypocrite in the English, and it's coupled with a negative prefix. So it literally means without hypocrisy. Sincere means without hypocrisy. It is unfeigned. It is not an actor just playing and repeating a part. It's not pretense or deceit. Or to put it positively, it is a genuine faith. And again, notice that that sincere faith characterized the life of Lois and Eunice. Notice he says it first dwelt in them. The NIV translates that it first lived in, or it takes up residency in, or it inhabits them. Lois and Eunice had faith in Christ and God, and it was real, and it was modeled to Timothy. Notice the word first dwelt in them. It's the word proton, first in time, place, and order. It started with them and was handed off to Timothy. It is critical for faith of our mothers to live still in our lives to see faith that is really modeled. Now listen, moms, not perfectly modeled, but genuinely as possible modeled. Living like Jesus. That's a challenge for all of us as Christians, to live honestly about our Christian faith. Modeling means being quick to pray and to be in the Word, and your kids see that in the Scripture. It means sharing what's God teaching you as a mother. It means walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, evidencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It means admitting your sin and giving grace to others as you're given grace in Christ. Modeling that faith for them means simply often just making sure your kids get to church. I read a story once about a young man helped a senior citizen. She didn't know him, but he began to put groceries in her car at the supermarket. And the lady asked him, "Why are you so thoughtful? Why are you so nice?" And he said, "It has to do with church and drugs." She was puzzled by that, obviously. "What do you mean by church and drugs? How did that influence your character?" He said, "Well, When I was younger, my mom drugged me to worship services. My mom drugged me to Sunday school. My mom drugged me to youth group. It had to do with church and drugs. To model your faith means to say, I take this as a reality. I live this faith, not only knowing about Christ, but practicing Christ. I read a story about four scholars who were arguing over their favorite Bible translation. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another said, no, I prefer the New American Standard Bible because it's so literal, it moves the reader to the passage and understanding the accuracy of what God's Word says. A third said, no, I prefer Moffat's translation. It's quaint and penetrating. I love the turn of phrases. It captures your attention. And the fourth scholar finally said, I prefer my mother's translation. The other scholars did what you did. They chuckled and said, what do you mean, your mother's translation? He said, yep, she translated it. She translated every page of that Bible into her life. It's the most convincing translation I ever saw. Modeling and molding our children. And we know the modeling was effective because of what Paul says here to Timothy. Again, he begins the sentence in verse 5, I am mindful. It literally means I receive remembrance of. Paul, in that dark and dank prison, is thinking, lots of time to think there, and he begins to reminisce about the faith of Timothy and how he was influenced by his mother and his grandmother, and he knows it was modeled. Then he says it's faith that has been passed along. Now, they didn't give him faith in Jesus because we must individually decide that. But they set the table for faith. They showed what faith looked like. The idea is that we use every means possible to help children come to Christ. If you notice in the baby dedication, I asked the parents this question, do you hear this day promise to give your child every benefit of God's church, his people? Every opportunity to be with Christian friends, every opportunity to be in Christian teaching, every opportunity to be with us in Christ, every opportunity to set the table in order for them to believe. Now understand, as parents, one of the big mistakes we make often is we think we can guarantee the product of our children. That if I just lay the table out there, if I give them Jesus, the product will come out all right. Listen carefully. We are not responsible for the product. God is. We are responsible for the process and how we try to lay the table to believe in Jesus. Again, sincerely, as a mom, your kids cannot possess what you do not only possess, but profess. To pass the faith along, we must truly possess what we profess. To model for others what we maintain for ourselves. Faith of our mothers living still is through modeling that faith as best we can to every generation. And the final point I want to make this morning from this text is this. Faith of our mothers living still should be met with gratitude. Shouldn't it? It should be met with gratitude. Why did Paul include this in the scriptures, the holy word of God? Because he wanted Timothy to know, be grateful for the foundation that was passed on to you. It is critical that we appreciate the faith passed on to us. He tells Timothy, it is a faith I am sure that is in you as well. The product of the effort of modeling and molding of your mother and your grandmother. Some of you here today, I'm tempted to have you raise your hands, but I won't. But some of you are here today, and you are first generation Christians. You're a mom here, and you are the first generation of a Christian in your family. And I am excited for you. You have the opportunity to start a new chain like Grandma Flo. You have the opportunity to begin to face the future and the generations to come and tell them about Jesus. You can start a generational avalanche of Christians.
I get excited about that. The opportunity of what you can do as a first-generation Christian mom. But I'm also excited for you if you've been in the long line of Christians, second, third, fourth, fifth generations of Christian followers. I hope today that you have gratitude for that legacy. If you're in generations that are still living, tell them thank you for passing along the faith, for molding and modeling you, Jesus, their sincere faith, for being your Lois and your Eunice. John Stott said, "Today, anyone who has been born and bred in a Christian home has received from God a blessing beyond price." If you were raised in a Christian home, you have been given a blessing beyond price. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." Faith of our mothers living still should be met with great gratitude today. So I read recently regarding Mother's Day versus Father's Day that more cards are sent on Mother's Day than Father's Day. More phone calls are made on Mother's Day to moms than Father's Day to fathers. And I wonder if that in some way reflects, again, the amazing influence of moms, which is a real thing spiritually. We can sing faith of our fathers living still, but please sing as well faith of our mothers living still. To celebrate a faith that molds us, a faith that has modeled Jesus to us, and a faith for which we are so grateful for in Christ, sincerely passed on to us. A faith of our fathers and mothers that we will be true to till death. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that you have set up a world that can have faith of our fathers and mothers, a place where the baton can be handed. And Lord, I think of many of us here today who can say, thank you, God, for the Christian upbringing I got, that the faith was passed along to me. For others here, Lord, they may not be in that situation. They may be the first. But oh, how wonderful it is to be the one who can break the chain and see the generations to come that will know Jesus. Lord, we know that there's no guarantee. We're not in charge of the product, but the process. But in that process, would you give us grace for ourselves? Would you ask us to forgive ourselves when we've messed it up? And Lord, that we would keep showing up day in and day out with integrity, with hope for our kids and our grandkids, our great-grandkids, and that we would believe with all of our hearts that what we have to pass on that will last is not us, but faith in the Lord Jesus. May we always lift him up first, for we pray in his name. Amen.